Blog Talk Radio.
I don't want to be where I'm supposed to be, but I'm trying to be the man that wants me to be. Don't let nobody do it. I'm not really. Even if my friends say my head, I'm the people that wants me. And no one else that is laughing with me. But since I was in the past, it was always here with me. Don't worry, I was just a different day. I'm down on my own, I'm on my way. And I was up on the love in the same way. I'm the outfit, I'm feeling ready. It's now 2 o'clock right here on Gospel JAS, and this is Gospel JAFM 91.7 and 91.9 on your FM dial, 920 on the Flow Network, 791 on Digicel Play, and www.gospelja.com for those who listen across the world. Gospel JAFM is owned and operated by KC Broadcasting Company Limited, with offices located at Unit 5, Tri-7 Business Center, 7 Ivy Green Crescent, Kingston 5, Jamaica. Gospel JAFM. Tune in today.
I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For by one offering, oh yes, just one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Good afternoon to you. Well, it's another day, a beautiful Tuesday. Good afternoon to you wherever you're listening from, whoever you are. If you're listening online, gospelja.com, all my international listeners, good afternoon. If you're on our frequencies, 91.7, 91.9, blessed love to you. If you're listening from the Flow Network, channel 920, Digital Play, channel 791, it's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful Tuesday. Tuesday, May 29, 2018, the 29th day in the 5th month in the year 2018. A beautiful day, a God day, an awesome day, a Jesus kind of day. What a day. It's Live Up Tuesday, and we're inside of Heart of Gold. My name is Nicolette Swaybe. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, that's Gospel J.A. We want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. I'm going to get ready to turn this over to... You got to put water in it. You got to be able to turn... We're about to get ready to turn this thing over to Brother Michael. Brother Michael, I need you to give me one song. Brother Michael is the MC to the sermons. He helps me a lot, and I just don't have time to hit the buttons and do all that and teach. Brother Michael's going to introduce Brother John as he have a testimony, and then he's going to bring one song. After that, Brother Michael's going to introduce everybody and set everything up and start me off. Brother Michael, now give you the music board, the mic, and the pulpit.
Amen. All right, folks, let's go ahead and have one song of praise and worship, and then after that, we'll get rolling with tonight's teaching.
Army of the Lord, walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, just hide in His presence and the Spirit starts to soar. Flying, I'm rising up with wings just like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father clear all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust him in me, but when things get worse, my hope is in you, my strength is in you. Teach me how to know a little more about you. How the world changed and try to take it from you. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boys, young girls, trying to stay pure. But who will teach them when the whole of ones won't go? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. When I'm down in my spirit and I need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation. Turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek after the Spirit, so I'm a spirit for man. And if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of the spotting and the tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is in you, my strength is in you. Teach me how to know a little more about you. As the world changes and try to take it from you. Money, relationship, air pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girl, trying to stay pure. But who will teach them when the whole ones won't go? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a messy world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't hear another preacher preach, I'm gonna win, that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, oh. Myself for you, oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. Oh, my hope is in you, my strength is in you. Teach me how to know a little more about you, Jesus. I humble myself before you. Yes, I humble myself before you, oh Lord.
All right, folks. Well, good evening and praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, Brother Mike. And tonight we're going to come with a special teaching. And the title of that teaching is The Choice We Make. The Choice We Make. We'd like to go ahead and thank those who are out there listening. And we'd like to thank sponsoring those who have sponsored tonight's teaching as well. And before we get started, we're going to give space and time. We're going to allow Brother John. He's going to give a few shout-outs to his pastoral friends. And then after that, the next voice that you will hear will be that of Brother Emmett Overton and The Choice We Make. All right, Brother John, you have the mic.
Howdy, 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 everybody. Good evening. I just want to make note of some wonderful things that happened to a couple of brothers. They trust themselves with the Lord because, you know, we have a lot of folks going to them, and we have His written word. And these guys decided to step out, or these brothers decided to step out in faith and ask the Lord. Is it really relevant? Say, sure, we have His written word, but are the gifts of the Holy Spirit relevant for them as well as all believers today? And God honored their belief, and God blessed them with the gift. And the persons I'm talking about is Pastor Walker, Pastor Simpson, Pastor Jackson, Pastor King, Pastor Livingston, and Pastor Montgomery. And then we had another brother. Brother Montgomery says he's no longer hooping. He's teaching now. He's no longer hooping. And God bless these men who were blessed by the Holy Spirit. God knows our heart, and He will bless us according to what we believe. You know, everything, even when it comes to salvation, He said, let it be done unto you according to your belief. And we have some brothers who were moved by the Holy Spirit to believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Brother John. Okay, folks, let's go ahead and get started with the teaching tonight. We're going to do a quick sound check, and then after that, Brother Emmett is going to be here live with the choice we make. All right, Brother Emmett, can I get a sound check?
Give sound check, Mike. Sound check 1-2. Can you get back to me, Mike?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
You got that King James?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful letter you sent me by letter. I tell you, my heart was moved. I thought you was a Cam Newton fan. You told me you done fell in love with the New York Giants all of a sudden. That's my assistant pastor there about Apostle Michael Smith. He's been moved up to a sent one in the ministry of deliverance, and I thank the Lord for him. Let the audience know, Brother Mike, who you are, how long you've been with this ministry, and the testimonies of what this ministry briefly has been a blessing to you. We're going to be talking about tonight after he shared us the choice we make. Very, very, very important. When you make the wrong choice, man, you suffer. And sin, the choices that we make. But before we start, give you a background on who some of my staff members are. I'm getting emails. Well, where you at? Where I'm at? I'm in Riverdale, Georgia, and Brother John is a friend of mine. He's learning the ministry of deliverance. He is a chaplain, and he works in the ministry of chaplaincy. And his daughter is Apostle Candace Durden. She's been with me for 10 years. We're basically the founders of this radio. I started, and the first person I met when I started this radio station was Sister Durden. And it went from there to Brother Mike, to Sister Sheila, to Sister Ruthie from Israel, and those of our staff members. We have Ruthie Rami out of Israel, does research for me, reads a lot of emails, and helped me out a lot. Sister Sheila, who's our secretary, she's in Boston. Brother Michael's assistant pastor, he's in North Carolina, and Pastor Steve Lee, who's in Atlanta, Georgia. Briefly, Big Mike, let them know who you are and how you got here.
Amen. For those of you who haven't heard or don't know me, my name is Brother Mike, and I am from the Carolinas, about 6-7 hours away from Brother Emmett and Brother John. But how I came to this ministry was, I would say, 3-4 years ago. I heard Brother Emmett, you know, teaching. And the teaching was unique and different. I was so used to hearing, you know, the hooping and the hollering, and I never really heard nobody really teach the word. So, you know, when I heard Brother Emma teaching, and, you know, he was teaching on the ministry of deliverance, I was like, well, you know, who is this? You know, let me check him out. So he gave, you know, contact information out, you know, during one of his teachings, and I emailed the brother. You know, and, you know, he talked to me, and right off the bat, you know, he had never met me in a day in his life, but he gave me word of knowledge, you know, on some things that were going on with me in my life. You know, he actually told me that, you know, there was a curse over me for not tithing. And it was true because, like I said, I never met him. He had never met me, but it was true because I wasn't tithing at the time, and it had been years, you know, since I had really started tithing. And Brother Emmett gave me a word of knowledge about that, you know, and said that in order for me to break, you know, curses off my life, you know, I needed to start back, you know, and honor the Lord, you know. So I started doing that, and, you know, lo and behold, you know, things really started opening up for me and getting better. Fast forward, you know, I started, you know, helping out with the ministry itself, you know, broadcasting everything, you know, operating the board, and, you know, just learning, you know, just learning as much as I could. And I was also, you know, when I wasn't here, you know, or doing anything in the ministry, you know, I was studying and learning myself, you know, about the ministry of deliverance, you know, because if a lot of you don't know, you know, this ministry is very powerful. It's not a popular ministry, but it is a ministry that is necessary, you know, and it's a ministry now that doesn't get a lot of attention, you know. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, he cast out devils, you know, he healed the sick, he laid hands, you know, and he gave us the power to also do those things as well. And you don't hear that being taught a lot nowadays. You know, we hear a lot about prosperity, this and that, you know, or this, that, and the other, and a lot of humanism, but we don't never hear about the ministry of deliverance, you know. So I'm grateful, you know, that I came across this ministry because it has allowed me to, you know, go further to, you know, overcome strongholds in my life. And, you know, it's been a pleasure. It's been a blessing, you know, to work beside these brothers, you know, and continue to grow in the Lord. So yeah, there you have it, folks. That's basically it.
And by the way, he likes Carolina Panthers, and I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Amen, Brother Michael. Thank you again for your service. God bless everybody. We're connected worldwide. I am so surprised of the amount of hits that we've been getting, and I want to thank all of our supporters worldwide who has contributed, continue to support this ministry, and continue to tell people about Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're going to get into some serious teaching tonight on the decisions and choices that we make. We make choices, and the choices that we make can be very, very critical. Don't make a decision, whether you sin, whether you reject the way that your mother taught you, or I'm going to show a lot of people that at the end of the day, you're going to have to stand up on your own and choose how to live, how to serve God. And in this chapter, I was reading early, and the Lord really moved on me. He first started me off in Ezekiel 17, and he popped me to 17:20. And then I was reading about Ezekiel 17, and then all of a sudden he moved me to Ezekiel 13, and I saw so much out of it. And I want to give to you what he's given to me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Lord, I ask that this message be a message to allow people to make a decision in their life, how tough it is to serve you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. As I've read these scriptures, I see that you have given us so much mercy and that you love mankind so much that you had to give your son. And I understand the concept of your son through this scripture. And I understand the blood, sprinkling blood is important to keep us away from the enemy. I ask you to forgive me for any of my sins this day and what I have committed to you, that my sin may not be hindering no one as I speak your word. And I ask that you use me as your oracle and allow me to say what the Holy Spirit has prepared for the hearer tonight. I bind Satan in the name of Jesus and every wicked force that will come against this teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The choices we make. I was reading today the prophet Ezekiel. And in this, I was in Ezekiel 17, and God moved on me. And he showed me that choices people and nations make can be tremendous. But before we do that, let's get a basic understanding of Ezekiel. The prophet is Ezekiel. The theme is God's judgment and glory. The date of the writings of the book of Ezekiel is 590 to 570 B.C. The background is the historical settings for the book of Ezekiel is Babylon during the early years of Babylon's exile in 593 to 571 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar took Jewish captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon in three stages. One, in 605 B.C., selected Jewish youths who deported to Babylon, among whom were Daniel and his three friends. Two, in 597 B.C., 10,000 captives was taken to Babylon, among whom was Ezekiel. He was taken captive. And the power of God can move through any human circumstances. That's what I see out of this. In 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar forced, totally destroyed both the city and the temple, with most of its surviving inhabitants carried off to Babylon. Ezekiel's prophetic ministry occurred during the darkest hour of Old Testament history. The 7 years preceding the 586 B.C. destruction, 593 to 586 B.C., and the 15 years following it, 586 to 571 B.C., the book was likely compared to or completed in 570 B.C. Ezekiel, who names means God strengthens, was from a priestly family. See the bloodline of righteousness? Pay close attention to that. And spent his first 25 years in Jerusalem, priestly training for service in the temple when he was taken captive to Babylon in 597 B.C. About 5 years later, at the age of 30, Ezekiel received his prophetic call and divine commissioning, after which he faithfully ministered for at least 27 years. Ezekiel was about 17 when Daniel was deported, making the two men virtually the same age. Both Ezekiel and Daniel were younger comparators of Jeremiah and most likely was influenced, considered by the older Jewish prophets, Daniel. By the time Ezekiel arrived in Babylon, Daniel was already well known as the man of extraordinary prophetic wisdom. Ezekiel refers to him by three times in this book, Ezekiel 14:14, 20, and 28-30. Unlike Daniel, Ezekiel was married. Ezekiel was married. Ezekiel 24:15-18 says that, and lived as a private citizen among the Jews, exiles by the Kurish River. Ezekiel 1:1, Ezekiel 3:15, Ezekiel 3:24, and Psalm 37:1. This book attributes to the prophetic to Ezekiel by name, the use of the personal pronoun I throughout the book, along with the book's unity in style and language, points to solo authorship by Ezekiel. His propheticness can be dated with precision because of his methods of serving God honorably. But notice it says he comes from a background. How our backgrounds really affect the decisions that we make. When we serve God, we have to make proper decisions and including choosing sin. Let's begin this journey in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 1. Now, before that, I want you to know that nations can make a lot of bad mistakes and bad choices. And we're seeing this nation do that here. And as God showed this to me, it really troubled me to pray for this country. And I'm not getting involved with no politics now. I said pray for this nation because I don't want to get involved in politics. Everybody know I done shot down Shannon Davis. Everybody know he got gutted with that mess. But nations that turn against God or make a commitment to God, make bad choices, would have to suffer. Let's look at this verse in Ezekiel 17, verse 7. The Lord gave this to me in about 30 minutes. These were also another gate gathered with great eagles and many feathers, and behold, the vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrow of his plantation. Wrong one, 17:10. I'm sorry, Ezekiel 17:10. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither? When the east wind toucheth it, it shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Now, as God showed that to me, I was like, Lord, what is this? And the Lord showed me that this eagle picture of Pharaoh, a king, Kezadiah of Judah, rebelled against Nazareth and turned to Egypt for military aid in 2 Kings 24:20. And then God showed me something in Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 10 was very astounding. The east wind refers to the Babylonian army because of Judah's last king, Zedekiah, broke the oath of the allegiance that he had made with the Lord and named with Nebuchadnezzar. He would be carried away captivity to Babylon and would die there, 2 Kings 25:7. This king chose to break the covenant of God, and he had to suffer. He died because that nation chose the choice that nation made. The choice that nation made, it made against God. Now, that's in nations. Let's look at individuals. Ezekiel 18:1, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, meant ye that ye use this proverbs concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. That's sin now. He's going to be talking about sin here. And in this title of Ezekiel 18:1, it's the soul that sinneth shall die. And God, the Holy Spirit, told me, I want you to name this the choice we make. The proverb was probably based on Exodus 25 and Daniel 5:9, both which teaches that the children are affected by the sins of their parents. Now, pay close attention to this because a lot of things that has to do with curses are going to be involved with this chapter. And the choices we make can carry on curses in our lives. And when God showed that to me, I mean, and all of a sudden these pastors and people start emailing me and say, hey, we need something on this, and God gave it to me. And I'm grateful that he did. Both which teaches the children are affected by the sins of their parents. However, Ezekiel make it clear that these passages was not intended to teach the children or to be punished for their father's sins. All are accountable for their own sins and their own unwillingness to trust in Christ as Savior and to live righteous lives. The Apostle Paul restates the principle with these words, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in life through Jesus Christ our Lord, according to Romans 6:23. I'm going to add up to this to show you that the choices that you make, consequences to choose sin, is devastating, because God is going to show you if a righteous person is doing right, the righteous father and the son is wicked, the righteous father don't have to suffer for the son's wickedness. And we're going to break this down, because each and every one of us having some choices that we got to make, and we can't make choices of sin or choices that will lure us into sinful things. Verse 3. As I live, said the Lord God, ye shall not have occasions anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine as the souls of the Father. Now, all souls are mine as the souls of the Father. Now, watch this. It's talking about bloodline. So also the souls of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The choices we make when we choose sin, it brings death. Choices we make when you choose sin, it brings death. Verse 5. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and had not eaten upon the mountains, neither had lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither had defiled the neighbor's wife. He didn't go commit adultery or lust after his wife. Neither had come near to mischievous women. M-E-N-S-T-R-U-O-U-S, wicked women, put it like that. And had not oppressed any, and had restored to the debtor his pledge, had spoiled none by violence, had given his bread to the hungry, and had covered the naked with a garment. He that had not given forth upon usury, neither had taken any increase, that had withdrew his hands from iniquity. He executed true judgment between man and man. He walketh in his statutes and hath kept my judgment to deal truthfully. He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord. These verses describe a person who has a right relationship with the Lord and who manifests the commitment to God by loving righteousness and justice. It is individuals who will live eternally in communion with the favor of the Lord. Paul emphasized this same trust when he refers to them, whom by continuous doing well and seeking for the glory of the Lord shall have eternal life. This lifestyle is now made possible by grace in Christ Jesus, based on Ephesians 2:8-10. Now I'm going to show you some stuff. We're going to keep going because I ain't got to the good part yet. Verse 11, and that does not any of those duties, but even had eaten upon the mountain and defiled his neighbor's wife, had oppressed the poor, and had needy spoiled by violence, had not restored the plague, and had lifted up his eyes to idols, had committed abominations, he giveth forth upon usury, and have taken increase. Shall he then live? Shall he not live? He had done all these abominables. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. So when you choose to sin, you can't blame it on nobody else. And God sees it. So remember the choices you make. If you have a demonic spirit in you that's pushing you to sin, please get it cast out. Get it cast out. If you got your flesh that is so weak, you got to do something. You got to call on God. You have to fast. You got to get it out. You got to break curses. You don't want to fall into sin and choosing yourself just to continue in sin. God tells us, shall we continue in sin? He said, by no means, in Romans 6:1. Verse 14. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he has done, and considered and does not such like. Now, the Bible says in Lamentations 5:7, our fathers have sinned, and we bore their iniquities. But God here had so much compassion on the children of Israel. You know, Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament. He did things in the Old Testament. Now, his spirit was there. His spirit was there because on the lamb, when they put the blood, the hyssop on the lamb, on the post, so that the firstborn of every child in Israel be saved, that was Jesus protecting his people. But I'm talking about he didn't die yet. So this was a way for God's people to come to God and to change. It was like he was protecting them from curses. God is that compassionate to people. Then he says, now, lo, if he had begot a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he had done, and considered and does not such like, that had he eaten upon the mountains, neither had he lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, had not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither have opposed or oppressed any, nor had withholden the pledge, neither had spoiled by violence. The earth will be violent in the last days, just as such it was in Genesis 6:11. But had given his bread to the hungry, and had covered the naked, and had covered the naked with a garment. That's beautiful, isn't it? Now God says, if you're living like this, he gives us mercy. That have taken off his hand from the poor, that have not received usury nor increase, had execute my judgment, had walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquities of his father. See, so what God was saying, if you live a righteous life, these sins can't come upon you. He was saying that to the children of Israel. Now look at us. Cursed is he who hanging on a tree. Christ became a curse that we may inherit the blessings of Abraham. We have to go through Christ. The children of Israel didn't have Christ at the time, and God provided the covering love for mankind, even when we make the wrong decisions. This is what I'm trying to show you tonight. He shall surely live. My God. Now, I want to show you something in Ezekiel 8:10-13. The unrighteous children of a godly father will be held accountable for their own sins. As a result of their refusal to repent and turn to God, they will experience spiritual and eternal death. Romans 2:8. So no one is responsible, but no one sin. If you teach somebody, show somebody something, hey, it ain't on you no more. Whether they live it or not, it ain't on you no more, long as you live it. And when we make these choices, they're very, very deadly because they separate us from the love of God. In Ezekiel 18:18, as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity, the choice. Now in the New Testament, for if a man soweth, that shall he weep. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap everlasting life. So what you sow, you weep it. And sometimes, man, we don't be wanting to weep some of these sins. I ask, Lord, give me grace. You know, it comes from our heart, and we're going to show that to you as we keep going. Now, in Ezekiel 18:19, he says, Yet say yea, why does not the son bear the iniquities of the father? When the son had done that which is lawful and right, and had kept all my statutes, and have done them, he shall surely live. This was before the curse. Can you believe that? This is God protecting his people from curses if they change their life. Now, here in the New Testament, we have grace. And your sins of your father, God doesn't do that no more because he sent us his son. We have to go through Jesus to get the same benefit that the children of Israel received during the time of Moses when they was in captivity for the choices that they made. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wicked of the wicked shall be upon him. Basically, what it's saying is he wishes to be evil, let him be evil, and he wishes to be righteous, let him be righteous. Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. That's a choice we make. And sometimes these choices are very, very devastating. And that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Why is this? That we make these crazy choices. God still have compassion on us. I'll show you. Brother Michael, turn to Lamentations 3, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26.
Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 20, starting in verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth.
You see that he love sitteth that alone. God has for us. Thank you, Mike. You see the love that God has, Michael. Did you see that, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
It is of his mercies. And when we make wrong mistakes, what about if God just say, I'm tired of y'all? Because some of you people cut people off so fast that they did something to you. Every day we do something to Christ, and we still wake up. Some of y'all get so angry at people. Some of y'all walking around with bitterness in your heart right now, talking about you serving Jesus. You're not serving Christ. You've made a decision in your heart to be bitter at your uncle or your brother or your mother or whoever did something to you. So what? They did it to Jesus. And if you don't forgive and release that, you can't come to the abundance of God's mercy and grace. All this is a trap, is to tie you up, get you in the flesh, and keep you making decisions to get you in hell. Then he says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, have I had pleasure at all that do wicked should die? Point blank. All that do wicked shall die. That easy. So if you want, you see, sin is just for a season. It's only for a season. Sin, the pleasures of sin, is for a season. Brother Mike, can you find that out of Hebrews? And let me know when you find it. The pleasures of sin is for a season. Just for a season. And I'll keep teaching and then you go on. The pleasures of sin is just for a season. So when you choose sin, you're making the wrong decision. A lot of people don't like to hear about sin. They want to hear about the prophecy or when the moon going to move, and they don't want to ever deal something with this end. I might look like my ratings get real low when it comes to sin. And the Lord told me, forget ratings. This is what they want, and I got church people are asking for it. So don't let this message get dull to your ear. Don't make the wrong decisions. Allow God to chasten you so that you will make the right decisions. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't Hebrews chapter 12, 5. Don't let your sin send you to hell. Let me know when you find it, Mike.
I got it.
Read that.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Choosing rather to
Hebrews
suffer.
Hebrews 11, 25.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season.
Just for a season. It ain't going to last that long. Ezekiel 18:24. But when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and committed iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned in his transgressions, that he had transgressed, and in his sin that he had sinned in them shall he die. You remember in the Bible, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in thy name? I can go to hell. All this I'm doing, if I die in my sin, it means nothing. Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in thy name? Find that for me, Big Mike. Lord, Lord, have we not done this in thy name? And then he say, you workers of iniquity, I know you not. Iniquity separates us from God. But we do have an advocate, Lord, thank God for his son, Jesus Christ. I appreciate the blood of Jesus Christ when I saw this. You see, in Galatians 6, 7, 8, 9, you got it, Brother Mike?
Yep, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?
Keep going.
And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from
Lord,
me, ye that work iniquity.
See there? And that can mess up. You know, I'm going to tell y'all something as Christians. If you just stand in the flesh and stand in the flesh, you're not fighting and not trying, God's going to get tired of that. Don't make those choices. Fight. Don't like the sin. Man, we are all of us are prone for something. But thank God for his mercy and for his grace. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 25, yea, ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Oh, now, O house of Israel, is not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Now, in Isaiah 55, 8, the Bible says that my ways are not yours, neither my thoughts are yours. Also, God is more equal than anybody, and God is more loving. So when we make the wrong decision, we can't say that, God wants. God doesn't want us to go to hell. God has no intentions for us to go. We send ourselves to hell. And the Romans 2, 4 says, O despise thou that riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is good. His goodness, his mercy, his grace, his love, his sanctification that he's given us through his son, his ability to give us reconciliation through his son, justification through his son, love through his son, power through his son, peace through his son. There are so much benefits through Yeshua. It is impossible to be a Christian without Yeshua, point blank. Then in Ezekiel 18:26, when a righteous man turn away from his righteousness and commit an iniquity and die in them, for his iniquity that he had died, done shall he die, point blank. So all that righteousness you done did, you laid hands and you still got sin in you and you ain't trying to change it, you doing something behind folks' back that even God see. Ask God to give you grace and help you through this thing. You know, we have to have fear of God. God knows we all have shortcomings, and I'm not here to judge nobody. Call on him. Keep him on your side. Keep him at your Bible. I used to see people in Jamaica. I told my wife, you can see people drinking a beer, whatever. They got a Bible in their back pocket. I used to go with my wife when she was working, and I would see people with Bibles, and they just leave the club, and they got Bibles in there everywhere. You know, Christianity is strong there, and it should be strong here. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committed an iniquity and died in them for his iniquity that he had done, shall he die? Now watch this. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he had committed and does that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul. Big Mike, give me Romans chapter 10, verse 12.
All right, Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
So if we make wrong choices, we call upon God and ask his son to cleanse us so that we won't be making these wrong decisions. We'll be a better in our walk with God. The righteous who trust in God and follow his ways must not think they are eternally secure. If they later become unfaithful and rebellious against God, such people also will die, just like the ones who had also lived in sin. Paul warns believers, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, Romans 8:13. See also Hebrews 2:3, Hebrews 3:6, and 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22. That's serious. In 1 Peter 4:18, the Bible says that the righteous shall barely make it. The Bible says that the righteous shall barely make it. Again, let me read this. The righteous who trust in God and follow his ways must not think they are eternally secure if they later becomes unfaithful. This is why I don't believe that's once you save, all you save. That's a lie. I've been saved ever since I was a child. You don't even know the Bible. You don't know nothing about the Bible. Tell me you know Jesus. You don't go to church. You don't read nothing. But you're Christian. You're going to go straight to hell. The righteous who trust in God and follow his ways must not think they are eternally secure if they later become unfruitful or unfaithful and rebellious against God. Such people also shall die, just like the one who has always lived in sin. And that's a terrible thing to do, for you to serve God all your life, go to church, and then you don't get no benefits of it because you still got that thing in your heart going to send you to hell. I said thing in your heart. We're going to get to that before we close. Ezekiel 18:27-28. Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely die. He shall not die. Yet, said the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal, O house of Israel. Are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Yeah, see, our ways are way much unequal than God. God don't have ways how we have. See, we're carnal. And you can see Romans 8:6, 1 Corinthians 2:14, and Isaiah 55:8 for that. Verse 30. Therefore, Ezekiel 18:30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. And that's a lot of Christians' ruin. We have a lot of Christians are social. You got Christians in politics. This fool, Shannon Davis, you're going to go to hell doing that. God don't want you talking about Jesus and prophesying that God showed him a dream and a vision that Donald Trump is holding up America. That's nothing but a damn lie. You see, and people going to go to hell promoting their own ideology, their own little hookup. Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost don't care nothing about no Republican or Democratic Party. That ain't God got a bigger plan than that. That's all going to end before this world comes in. The Bible being fulfilled. And we got to make right choices. We got to listen to the right gospel. You got to see, the devil also throwing messages. The Lord showed me something when I was watching TV. They got this African-American, Stacey Abrams, is running for Georgia. If she wins, she'll be the first black governor since Reconstruction here in Georgia. And see, these are spirits here. And God showed me how that people's decisions are based on what people say and fun out and do. And they make a choice based on what somebody say. They're conservative values, and you go choose that. You don't even ask the Lord. And see the choice y'all made by putting this man in office? That's the choice you made. We need to hear God and obey God in everything. Now, in Ezekiel 18:31, cast away from all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed and make you a new heart. The only way you're going to change and the decisions that you are making can be more easy if you change your heart to really make the right decision. Not just make a decision just in a sinful decision, but in any decision. Don't let this sermon just lock you on to say, well, he's just on talking about this different sin. In any decision. And if your heart is right, God will lead you. He says, transgression and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? God doesn't see nobody. He don't want nobody to die. Now, let me show you something about this new heart. Turn to Psalms 51:10, Brother Mike.
All right. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10. All right. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
if that don't happen, everything I say you're going to keep doing. Then he says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. God don't want to see us die. Because we're going to die if we make these wrong decisions that's putting us into sin, making decisions, voting for politicians based on everybody doing it, you doing it. Being a Christian, getting involved with politics is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Those are decisions that people are making, and God ain't got nothing to do with it. Because politics doesn't help people. It's been around for 1,000 years, and it ain't going to help nobody. So, Mr. Shannon Davis, your bandwagon will be over with real soon. They're creeping up on Mr. Trumpy. And the decision all you Americans made is going to show you that it was the wrong one when they impeached him. Because it's getting close. See, we choosing the wrong things in life. We picking the wrong friend. We need to let the Lord lead us and see you choose. God don't care about you choosing. Matter of fact, according to Colossians 3:3, your life is supposed to be dead. And if our life was hidden in Christ, we wouldn't be doing all these old crazy things that we're doing, these decisions that we're making, and the decision that we're putting ourselves in, because we got to look at our heart now. Because the heart's not right, you won't never change. For out of the heart perceive evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. You can also see Mark 7:20-23. Now, ask God to cleanse your heart. You got to know something about the heart now, because he says transgressors that make you a new heart and a new spirit. You got to, a new spirit. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 7:1 on that one, Big Mike.
All right, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Is that saying the same thing according to Ezekiel 18:31?
Let's go to Ezekiel 18:31. Hold on.
See, we're supposed to cleanse ourselves from the flesh and spirit according to 2 Corinthians 7:1, and then clean our heart, according to Psalm 51:10, based on Ezekiel 18:31.
Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?
New spirit, clean your flesh and spirit, 2 Corinthians 7:1. New heart, only God can do that. Now, only God can do that, because the Bible says, create in me a new heart. You have to create, you have to allow God to get all the stuff out your heart. Now, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9-10. There are evil things that come out the human heart that's horrible. And you really don't want me to break those down, because you get depressed. So you go study Mark 7:21-22. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So ask God to search your heart tonight. The Bible says that your heart can be safe in God. The Bible says where your treasures are, there shall your heart be. You need to wash your heart. Wash thy heart. God can clean it. He also can wash it. Ask God to wash your heart. Let me show you what that said. That's in Jeremiah 4:14. Ask God to wash your heart. Give it to me, Big Mike, Jeremiah 4:14. Also, give me Jeremiah 4:14 and your mind. It's in Genesis 8:21. Man, we got a lot of work to do.
Jeremiah 4:14, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?
Vain thoughts. That's Jeremiah 4:14. Wash your heart. Vain thoughts in your mind. Your just mind just running. Genesis 8:21, Big Mike. So since he said transgression, go ahead.
And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing, as I have done.
The heart is the center of our being that determines our outward behavior and must be regenerated and charged. Without that inward change, no one can do the will of God. It's not going to happen. Ask God to write them down in your heart tonight. Make the right decision. Don't make the wrong decision. Ask the Lord, Lord, write this down in my heart based on Psalms 40, verse 8. Say that the word would go in them by the Spirit. You want it in your spirit so your heart can connect. Jeremiah 32:39, Ezekiel 36:27. Get false doctrines out of your heart too. That'll mess you up. Romans 6:17. Ask God to write his word in your heart. Big Mike, give me Jeremiah 31:33. Ask God to wash yourself with that word and get that heart right. Jeremiah 31, verse 33.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
God can write it in your heart. He said he'll do it. But our problem is that we really want to hold on to some sin. Ask God to put his word in your heart. He can do that. I got some more scriptures to prove that. The Lord gave this to me in 30 minutes. Give me Psalms 119, verse 11, Brother Michael. Psalms 119, verse 11. And another thing, too. I'm not here to impress you pastors who's listening to me. Some of you are real highly in the doctrine stuff. I'm not in there. I'm just an ordinary, simple teacher that gives people scriptures. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not, because see, I can't do that. I can't get no anointing doing that. I'm just a humble errand boy. That's all.
Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Thy word that I have hid in my heart, that thou may not sin against me. The wrong choices, because there's nothing in our hearts stopping us from committing these sins. You know that Satan can take stuff out your heart? He can take the word out your heart. Mark 4:15 says he can take the word out your heart. The devil can take the word out your heart. Now, you know, pride can also be in your heart, too. Give me Obadiah 1:3, Brother Mike. Obadiah 1:3. Pride can be in your heart. And that's going to definitely make you make the wrong decisions. Because when you got pride in you, it's all about me, 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 me.
The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?
Lord, have mercy. Let's look at something here. Now, we still dealing with Ezekiel, but I'm showing you in the heart, because God used Ezekiel to tell people something. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, Ezekiel 18:31, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die? So if you don't have a new heart and a new spirit, you're going to die in the sin. In Genesis 8:21, and the Lord smelt a sweet savor, and the Lord says in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore. For man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more anything living that I have done. In Genesis chapter 42:28, and he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, is even in my sack. And the heart fail them, and they are afraid. So your heart can really get you in trouble if it's not right. Now, don't have no hard heart, too, because some decisions that we make, we just stubborn and still want to do it and still want to do it. Something's driving you to do that. You need to come get some deliverance. Exodus 7:14. Exodus chapter 7:14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. And if you get a hardened heart, God can't change that. You got to let him break it. Ask God to put wisdom in your heart, because you won't make wrong decisions with wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. He should give it to him without finding any fault. James 1:8. Big Mike, give me 2 Chronicles 9:23.
All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 23. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart.
I ask you tonight, Because we got to do a deliverance overseas, two deliverance in Europe. I asked you tonight, are you going to make the right decisions? Are you going to allow God to change your heart? What are you going to do? Are you going to make wrong decisions constantly? Seek God. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask him to give you understanding. Don't let your flesh send you to hell. Don't forget to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. It's been a blessing tonight. We got to get ready to do a deliverance worldwide. We're going to be doing a deliverance tonight. This was a special presentation because there are some churches that's hooked tonight with a conference on sin. And they called me, and I want to thank all of those pastors again for opening up that door. Don't forget to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're on 24 hours a day, air code 646-378-1857. Don't forget to sow a seed and to keep us on air. And definitely don't forget to tell someone about livedeliverance.com and give us more, send us more subscribers. God bless you, and have a good evening and good night. Brother John, everybody just got disconnected. Open up the line to Brother John. Hey, Brother John.
Hi, you can hear me?
Yeah, okay. We're off air.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the group. I enjoyed that session tonight, man, brother. That was really good.
Excuse
and
me.
For those who have never...
Hey, Brother John. Brother John.
Huh?
We're off
yeah.
air. We got to get rid of... We got to go do an exorcism with Sister Dirty. You want to watch this with us or what?
Yeah, I'm going to turn it on now.
All right, because your daughter be in. I'll see you. Hey, Big Mike, let me get in because we got to do that guy at 10 o'clock.
All right, go ahead. I'll be in a second.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go now.